We didn't get as much snow as I thought we would, but I think you're all very hardy and capable Coloradans, right? So I'm glad that you're here today. And it was out of an abundance of caution that we wanted to kind of combine services today and be together as we celebrate God's presence in our lives in the midst of some strife, in the midst of some difficulties. And so we pray for God's presence in our midst. Would you bow with me in a special moment of prayer? Holy God, the very definition of diversity is that we would hold covenant with people who are different from us. And we pray for people we don't really understand. We pray for people who really don't understand us. Help our hearts to be open to each other. Let your love reign in our lives. Forgive us in many broken places that we are keenly aware of. And accept us for who we are, that we belong to you, O God. We belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. How would we share the life of Mountain View together?
Good morning, Mountain. Good morning, Mountain View. On March 6, all are welcome for a brief and informal drop-in Ash Wednesday service, where the ashes will be imposed from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Also, don't forget that daylight savings is next Sunday. Make sure. Daylight savings.
Is it Sunday?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
means you need to make sure to set your clocks ahead 1 hour the night of Saturday, March 9th.
You lose an
hour. Mm-hmm. On March 17th, everyone is invited to grab something green and join us for lunch and activities as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. There'll be a potato bar, Irish dancing, games for all ages and abilities, kids' crafts, and plenty of fellowship opportunities.
Thank you, Zoe. And if you didn't catch that, daylight savings is next week, so we're springing forward. Set your clocks ahead. I'm Pastor Sarah, and along with Pastor Steve, I know he already welcomed you, but I want to welcome you again. It is good to worship with you this day, and we recognize that we all bring something, we're carrying something into this space, and we want to honor that and welcome you in however you come. Today we are going to worship. Our service is filled with great music. It's filled with prayer. It's filled with the word of God through scripture and preaching, and it is filled with communion, which is God's invitation to everyone, to all people, to come to the table and be with one another, to be infused and nurtured in God's grace. So that is what we can look forward to today. With that communion in mind, I invite you to stand and greet one another. Remind each other that the peace of Christ is in them and for them.
Peace be with you. Thanks for being here. Peace. Thank you. Peace.
Good morning. I'm Chris Flewelling, and I'm currently Vice President of Church Council. I've been asked to say a few words about the happenings of this past week. As you may have heard, there was a special session of the General Conference of the United Methodist Church in St. Louis. The purpose of this session was to vote on the Commission on a Way Forward, which had put together three different plans for a vote. That body adopted the traditionalist plan, which does not sanction same-sex marriage in the United Methodist Church or ordination of self-avowed practicing homosexuals as clergy. We know that there is a wide range of emotions surrounding this decision. The Church Council wants you to know that we are listening to you and we care about your feelings. We will need time to hear from surrounding churches about how the Western jurisdiction will respond and also what the ruling of the Judicial Council in April will be on the constitutionality of the parts of the larger decision that was made before we try to speak out in favor of or against anything. We will need to know what the consequences would be to our church if we take a stand one way or another. I know that when I first heard of the decision, I felt like I needed to communicate with my fellow church members to help me sort out my feelings. I encourage you to have productive conversations with each other in the narthex after the service this morning. There are post-its provided in the narthex for you to write down your feelings so that we can create a message board. This is an important time for our church family to be together, talk to one another, ask questions, and learn from each other. There will be many of us church council members present, and we want to hear from our congregation. I value the diversity of opinions at Mountain View, and I believe that that makes us stronger. With God's help, we will get through this together. Thank you.
We're going to do our congregational intro. You could sit down and just sing that, and that'll be fine. We'll sing it twice through.
Spiritual practice today is devotion. We've been talking about different aspects of worship. Devotion may be the core, the center of our belief as we move up and down the mountain of experience. We have high water marks and we have low ebbs and flows in our spiritual life. Devotion is a piece for each and every one of those stages, high and low. High and low. Our devotion is what we offer to God in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of grief, in the midst of relief, in the midst of challenge. Our devotion is what we offer to God as we worship in this place. Would you stand for our opening hymn, O Wondrous Sight, O Vision Fair, 258.
Thank you. a cappella.
And I'll invite the kids to come on over here. I know you're Play-Doh-ing, but we'll get to it soon. And yes, Play-Doh-ing is a verb. I just made it one. How are you guys? How many of you like to go sledding in this kind of snow? Yeah, how about, do any of you ski or snowboard? Maybe you've done it before. Okay, but sledding is a big fun. I lived a block away from a huge hill when I was a kid. We called it Pitt Park because the hills went so far down we could sled like across. It was as far across as the sanctuary. It was pretty incredible. But I always thought the hardest part was going up the hill. How many of you like to climb up the hill? No. How many of you like to go down the hill? Yes. So I thought when I was in Girl Scouts, we were trying to come up with some good project to do, and I thought we should make an escalator for our sledding hill. Right? Obviously, we should have an escalator for our sledding hill. Well, that was a lot of work, and at the end of the day, it would just be easier to go up. But I was wondering, do you like being at the top and going down, or being at the bottom and ready to start again? Top or bottom? Where do you like to be? You like to be at the bottom? Why, Max? You just had a bunch of fun coming down, okay? You like being at the top, Rupert? Why is that? Because you'll get to go down just then. I think you both have it right. And that is, there's so much to look forward to when you're on the top, and there's even some great stuff on the top, right? You get to look at the route that you're gonna take, make sure that your sled is just right, and you get to see everyone before you. And when you're at the bottom, you have a great story to tell. We had a whole lot of fun. And I know that sometimes I just wanna stay at the top and think, oh, I'm gonna sled forever. But it's when we get home and we tell our mom and dad, oh, that was so much fun, and we have hot chocolate, that we remember what it was like to be at the top and the bottom. And that is what our faith is like. That's kind of strange to think about. But we have things to anticipate. We have ways in which Jesus helps us know who he is at the top. And then we get to go. We go to the bottom of a mountain, like the bottom of a sledding hill, and we get to tell other people about who Jesus is. It's kind of like all the fun we had with Jesus, we get to share that with other people. So I want you, I think we can hold Rupert and Max, both of your ideas, that the top and the bottom are good places to be. Can you pray with me? Let's do something different today. I want you to make your hands kind of like a mountain or a hill. Okay? Dear God, thank you for mountains and hills where we can go up and come down especially on sleds. Help us to know you at the top and share your love and joy at the bottom. And help us to remember you in all of these places. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can head back to the parade ground.
Before we receive our offering, I was asked that we would have some prayer time and some sharing of our love for God in this hour. We have prayers for Sue, right, who had broke her hip. Yeah, broke her hip this week. And we're mindful, of course, of our United Methodist Church, imperfect as it has always been, and in presence of God, who seeks a way to make us whole in our love for God. Would you bow with me as we pray together? On this beautiful snowy morning, Lord God, we recognize our need for you. As our hearts beat in the moment, some relieved, some distressed, we ask your holy presence to touch us, for we are not all that we can be for you. We recognize that issues and people often collide. We ask you, God, to be real to us, to mend and heal us, to be with our friends as we pray for our enemies. Keep us from making a monolith of our own opinion, God, whatever it may be. Forgive us when we hurt each other, intentionally and unintentionally. Guide us to be your people in this place, and let your love be the most important thing to us. such that no matter what happens in our world, in our church, in our lives, we remain close to you. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I wrote a check today. I wrote a check for the church. I wrote a check for the church that I put in the plate. I wrote a check for the church that I put on the plate to support the ministries and conversations and hopes and dreams of this people who I love, who you love, and who God loves. Ushers.
To the mountains we must go, and for a home.
pray for your people, O God. We pray for ourselves, knowing that imperfect you have received us, imperfect you have accepted us, and in love you have forgiven us. Help us, Lord, to be your people. Help us to discover ways to let your light shine in our lives. Forgive us our many faults and failings, and remind us that your love exceeds all of our conceptions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I will be reading Luke 9, 28 through 43. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will not scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, you faithless, faithless, and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Holy One, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, the things left unspoken, and the things that we hear all be honorable and glorious to you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. My dear ones, I have rewritten this sermon countless times this week. In my sleep, in my prayers, and finally on paper. This Sunday, the one that is meant to be the bright Sunday foreshadowing the new dawn and new life of Easter, for it is right before Lent begins. Well, it feels a bit weighted down, drenched already with the dimmed, introspective, mellow mood often associated with Lent. The events within the United Methodist Church over the last week have taken some of the sparkle and energy out of the room, and the capacity to experience the glorious and awe-inspiring moments of the Transfiguration. On Wednesday, I'd planned to take a spiritual day of retreat where I could read and write, rest and pray. And yet somehow my thoughts continued to be distracted or hijacked as I went re-looping around the disciples, thinking of them and Jesus on the mountain. Peter, James, and John had gone up with Jesus with the intention of praying, but they were sleepy. Tell me about it, right? The wee hours of Wednesday found me in front of my computer, trying to compose a letter, some words, a humble attempt of care and comfort for you, for the world, for myself. The disciples came to their moment of sleepiness after days and weeks in the fullness of ministry action. They had fed the 5,000. Jesus had sent them off as pairs to preach the gospel and heal people everywhere, and they had heard from their friend and teacher how he was going to die. How about you? How was your week? How was your February? Did it fly by as your calendar filled up, as tax preparation took hold, as new responsibilities emerged, or perhaps your daily life was just full? It's not hard to empathize with the three disciples today, is it? Admittedly, I'm tired. New babies have a fair contribution in this reality. But in that moment on Wednesday and throughout this week, I wanted to get away from the daily grind, hard work, and incredible but difficult moments of ministry, of responsibility. I feel so human. Limited, vulnerable, and dependent. So it was in all this that I finally sat down and wrote my sermon. Now, only a couple weeks ago, I realized that today would be the post-general conference Sunday and my day to preach. Similarly, I had the opportunity to preach after the 2016 presidential election. Lucky me. Now that we're here, the similarities are a bit unnerving. Deep surprise and shock in our neck of the woods. A bold statement that can be interpreted and is experienced as incredibly harmful. And a people, a collective body left, regardless of pre-election, pre-conference stance, exhausted and in need of deep healing over the process, rhetoric, and broken relationships and trust. Turning back to that November 13th, 2016 sermon, I see how I sort of got lost in big theological ideas and words, kind of, you know, working myself to that place of understanding. Eventually, however, God came through. God's message of love and hope, which to me seems to be the purpose of preaching, God's message shone through despite me. I mentioned that the sacred and profane are not separations we can make. In trying to divide into two categories, we are left with sacred and desecrated. And this is the most dangerous separation we can make. This is ever true today in the midst of our current reality as people of the United Methodist Church, and especially followers of Christ. Luke's account of the transfiguration, therefore, up the mountain and the next steps down the mountain ground us in this truth again. So let's start at the top of the mountain. Luke 9:28 says, while Jesus was in prayer, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became blinding white. At once, two men were talking with him. They turned out to be Moses and Elijah, and what a glorious appearance they made. Meanwhile, Peter and those with him were slumped over in sleep. While we might feel tired, wanting to get away, experiencing a deja vu of disappointment and grief, God is too magnificent to have not also shown us wonder, even and especially when we most need it, and yet when it's most unexpected. My son Spencer's smile gets me every time, which is about 7/8 of the time that he's awake. He just has a grin that is wondrous. When I took communion to Kitty Lewis this week, her dog Cora greeted me with kisses, so all of us had a special time together. And this earlier this week, the frozen tipped trees elicited such awe and wonder as I took in the world of stillness and beauty. It was a mystical beauty. And many of my colleagues, including mentors and others from various conferences, spoke of hope-infused next steps happening in real time, on the margins and in the hallways, even as the legislative floor of General Conference seemed in a quagmire. And so we turn to second century theologian Irenaeus, who said, "The glory of God is man fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive." He continues by saying, "The glory of God gives life. Those who see God receive life. For this reason, God, who cannot be grasped, comprehended, or seen, allows himself to be seen, comprehended, and grasped by men, and he may give life to those who see and receive him. It is impossible to live without life, and the actualization of life comes from participation in God, while participation in God is to see God and enjoy his goodness. Seeing the glory of God made the disciples come to life." The disciples were amazed and so drawn to remain in the moment. I can imagine their motivation of building the dwelling place for their spiritual heroes. And it was a bit of a paradox. Yes, they wanted to honor and offer full devotion to them, and yes, they wanted an excuse to stay on the mountain. The sermon title, Up and Down the Mountain, serendipitously still rings true despite all of the iterations of my sermon. But the word "and" holds more meaning to me now. "And" holds the spot of transition and the place of decisions made. It's in this moment when hearts and minds require a reset and an acknowledgement that what was must meet what will be. The disciples wanted to build booths, dwelling places. Luke writes, a quick aside, they didn't know what they were asking. And in part, I think Luke is trying to speak to the idea that the glory of God made manifest in Moses, Elijah, and the glowing face of Jesus cannot be contained or even fully worshiped within a structure. But the more important part is that the purpose of the trip up to the top of the mountain was not to set up camp or stay, but to find the resource of body, mind, and spirit to go back down. The disciples didn't get it. When they got back down and faced the spirit-possessed boy and other troubles, they couldn't do the ministry, the miracles asked of them. They were still a work in progress. Admittedly, I feel like that sometimes too. Do I have what it takes to lead, to care for others, and to do the incredible work that Jesus has entrusted me with? Jesus calls them out, "You perverse and faithless generation." What a generation! No sense of God, no focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? To which I turn and translate to mean, you must recognize me at the top of the mountain and recognize me at the bottom of the mountain. Glory and groundedness are not separate. The sacred and profane are not different, reducing one to be disregarded and made meaningless. Your lives must be integrated, taking your faith you proclaim into the manner in which you live. Jesus is calling us to be a witness with our presence, words, and actions, to witness to the message of God's compassionate presence, the sacred in all things, and the attention that must be paid to actually encounter and embrace these truths. Not just the glorious ones on top of the mountains with our glowing heroes, but always. Jesus calls us to witness to his life, a life lived of love, mercy, and forgiveness, a life lived for healing, a life lived for setting free those captured under the label profane and bringing about wholeness to the desecrated. Irenaeus's quote is sometimes turned around to say, man fully alive is the glory of God. When we live authentically and fully, growing in wisdom and integrity, we bring God glory, delight, and worship. Connecting the glory up the mountain with the human condition at the bottom is the work of a lifetime for us followers of Jesus Christ. Paul spoke of this complexity and transforming truth in a letter to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, and all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. My colleague and friend, Reverend Carrie Greenhill, and the lyricist of our closing hymn, reflected on Paul's thoughts in light of our Methodist heritage. This speaks to me of our creation as humanity in God's image, seeing God in one another, seeing that God is transforming all of us into the image of God in Christ. But unlike the mountaintop moment with Jesus, for us it is a lifelong process of being changed from one degree of glory to another. That is, in Wesleyan language, the work of sanctification is not instantaneous, but gradual. We need our mountains to experience, know, worship, and adore God in God's fullness, glory, and magnificence, so we can see with new eyes that glory, that God is in all of us, and in awe, in all, not just one thing. God is not just about one moment, one issue, one joy, one sorrow, or one understanding. God holds, experiences, incarnates, inhabits, and transfigures all things. Our acts of worship and devotion, awe and delight, prepare us to go into the world as witnesses of hope, healing, and Easter yet again. The sacrament of Holy Communion provides a space to weep with Jesus, to hurt with Jesus, to offer our very selves with Jesus, to be in community with Jesus, and to become a witness with Jesus. Coming to the table of communion is God's way, yet again, of pouring out transcendent, transfiguring grace and enabling us to do the miraculous work of living together as though profoundly sacred and beloved people that we are. We are all invited to the table, the Lord's table. And as we come, I invite you to pray with me. Let us pray. Mysterious God, caring parent, somehow you can be both. Just as you can, you've infused your creation with that capability to be generous and abundant, surprisingly grace-filled and touchable. Remind us of your rich character that transcends all things through mystery and particular compassion. Help us have faith in you, and also in each being in which you dwell, that we might see ourselves and each other truly as the light and salt of the world, that which illumines mercy and love, and preserves the integrity and wholeness that you created each of us to be. Forgive us our distractions and our failings. We offer ourselves in a moment of silence. Let us sing now for Christ's mercy.
Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison.
In our tears, confusion and disillusionment, pain, fear, and deep sorrow, be the gentle, calming Abba. In our hopes, thanksgivings, and small joys, healing, restoration, and second chances, be the creative force moving us from glory on to glory. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is good to give our thanks and praise, O God. It's a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Creator of heaven and earth, as you shaped all of creation, even holding us in your intimate care. We see your promise fulfilled. You promised that you would be with us always. You promised the coming of an anointed one who would lead the people to peace and righteousness. In hopeful anticipation, we give thanks to you, O God, of creation, of salvation, of the prophets, and of us all. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name today and join their unending hymn.
Who is the Word made flesh, who came to show us the way of your love through relationship with him and with each other. Jesus healed the sick and restored the broken. He became vulnerable to the point of death to relate with us. Holy are you and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who was betrayed by those who loved him, who was persecuted by those who feared him, who was crucified by those who thought that his death would be the end of him. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, O God, and broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pray with me. Pour out your Holy Spirit and on these gifts of bread and cup, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed in his blood. Make this be a balm, an outpouring of your grace through the Holy Spirit, that we may be healed and made whole in Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite those who are helping with communion to come forward. Everyone is invited to the God's table. This is not the United Methodist table, this is the Lord's table. So you're invited to come by the center aisle, take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup, or you may take a little cup to drink from. Gluten-free elements will be provided on this side. You're welcome to pray at the kneeling spots, or we will also have healing prayer. I will be available over here if you'd like some healing prayer or just prayer in general. Following communion, we will sing together and conclude our worship. But come, taste and know that God is good. Brothers who desire the sacrament.
Amen. Thank you, Carolyn. Even when we're pulled, we can be beautiful. Will you stand as we sing our closing hymn? Dear ones, thank you again for worshiping together this morning. I want to offer an invitation. Anyone can take these books. This is our devotional for Lent. They are out just outside the narthex. It's called Coming Together Around What Matters Most. And we will be doing a one church, one book series throughout Lent. There are other devotionals there too, as you desire for your devotional needs. Another reminder that we have Ash Wednesday open house service this coming Wednesday at 5:30. And now, brothers and sisters of Christ, wherever you find yourself on the mountain, at the top, with lots to look forward to, maybe needing a rest, perhaps you're at the bottom, ready to go out in the world and just had a lot of fun coming down. Or maybe you're in that end point, in that transition. Know that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that God in Trinity is with you in all of those places and will continue to be with you in all of your hurt and joy, sorrow and resurrection. We pray this with God's peace and grace for your hearts. Go today with that. Amen.